This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, here we are, 1 week away from the official election day. Douglas County Clerk Daniel Loomis, thanks for coming in.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
So I know you're very busy this time of year. What kinds of questions have you been getting in the elections office?
Well, the normal questions when it comes to a primary, some folks delay checking their registration and find out too late that they have not affiliated themselves with a major political party, and so they just get a nonpartisan ballot only. So they call us with some concerns, but we explain it to them.
And I know that, you know, Oregon's system, and maybe it's worth stating that every state does things a bit differently.
Right. Our primary isn't on the same schedule as other states, and our state has different closed primary ballots than other states.
Right. And it's interesting because I know there's some states where you can walk in and that morning or however say that you want a Republican ballot or you want a Democratic ballot that day. And maybe you're registered in the other party. But in some states, all the rules are very different.
Right. Our legislature sets the rules for us.
So in Oregon, one of the other changes that's been kind of dramatic in a way, about 10 years ago, we had the Oregon Motor Voter Act. Talk about some of the changes that's led to.
Well, the Oregon Motor Voter Act made it much easier for voters to be automatically registered through the DMV. And because of that, since that change in 2015 was the act passed, 2016 was when it became effective. And in 2016, we had about 72% of the voters that were eligible to be registered were registered. And so there was a large percentage that weren't registered. But now, today, because of automatic voter registration, we're up to over 98% of the eligible population is registered to vote in Douglas County. Sorry.
And that doesn't necessarily mean all of them do, though.
Well, not everyone votes, yes.
And so that, you know, you've got years worth of data under one system, and now it's kind of changed. So it's hard to kind of, if you're a data geek like me, you're trying to figure out exactly what that has led to. And because it's done that way, when people are registered through DMV, then they're initially registered as a non-affiliated voter, right?
Right. And you receive a card in the mail if you didn't choose a party already. And that card in the mail asks you to choose a party. And if you turn that card in, you'll be registered with that party that you choose. But if you don't turn that card in, you just stay as a non-affiliated voter.
And hence, sometimes people are fine with that until the ballot comes out and they would like to vote for whichever party their heart is kind of in, and they realize they can't.
Yeah, the voter is responsible for their party affiliation, so they have to take an action.
So at this point, first of all, I would imagine everybody's gotten their ballots by now, right?
Right, but today is the last day if you have a need for a replacement or reissued ballot. Today is the last day that we are allowed to mail them to you. So after today, you'll need to come to our office to pick that up.
And now that we are a week out, are people better off using the drop sites at this point?
You are correct. Absolutely. The U.S. Mail is our partner in this, but we do not want you to have the unfortunate situation where your ballot arrives after Election Day and is not postmarked by Election Day. So we want you to mail that by today or actually use a ballot box.
And you've got 15 different ballot drop sites, 8 of those are drive-up locations, even added one at the college recently.
Right. That one at the college used to be inside of a building, then we moved it to a box outside of a building, outside the administrative building. But this year, we just moved it about 200 feet to the southeast, right in front of the library at the UCC, next to their book drop.
So it is available there. What's kind of the procedure? What goes on in the clerk's office over the next week as the ballots continue coming in?
Well, we've got teams coming in this week that will begin extracting the ballots out of their envelopes. We'll add those votes to the tally, but we can't read those tallies. We can only add them into the machine.
And so you do all that, and then it's basically 8 o'clock next Tuesday, hit the lever.
basically.
I mean, there's more to it than yeah. that. But I mean, for the without getting too much into the weeds, there's a lot that goes into, though. It seems like you've got a lot of cross checks just to make sure that everything is done appropriately.
Right. Every moment of the ballot's life, once it enters our office, is tracked. We keep accountability of it. And so as we scan ballots to say that they're received, then we move to the next spot, which is signature verification. But we have a count of those ballots. But not all ballots make it through signature verification because of mismatches or people forgetting. And so the count of that batch changes as it moves to the next station, and so on.
And then you've got some observers that come in, right?
Right. We make opportunities for observers to watch the process. We also make opportunities for people to come in and take short tours. If you'd like to just pop in, we'll, you know, meet us at the counter. We'll find out if there's a opportunity for us to bring you inside and give you a guided tour. We also, during the extraction periods and tabulation periods, we have a video monitor in the hallway that shows different camera views of the election process.
Wow. So, I mean, that's one of the things with sort of all the calls for transparency in voting over the last number of years as various controversies come up. That with the electronic things that you can do now, it really can solidify exactly what is taking place.
Yeah. Since the inception of elections, and especially since the inception of vote by mail, Oregon has made sure to always remove gaps in the system and make this system much more secure each and every year.
All right. Very fascinating work. What's your favorite thing about being a county clerk?
Customer service. As we have customers come to the counter and have questions about the elections process, and I get to pull them inside the office and walk them through the process and just make it transparent for them. That's exciting for me.
And what's one of the misconceptions about maybe what people think a clerk does that maybe you don't do?
Some people think of elections as a one-day process. For us in the inner workings of it, it's a much longer process, sometimes up to 1 year.
Wow. Yeah, because you go through. Now, after we get through next Tuesday, there's several other steps that take place then before you finally certify the votes. Explain that.
Well, there's the postmark period, 7 days of us allowing ballots to arrive that have a postmark on election day or earlier. And then there's those being counted. Then there's the curing period where challenge ballots, people that forgot to sign or people had a no match, will come in and cure those ballots, give us a signature. And then in 21 days, we cut it off there. And after 21 days, we certify.
All right. Well, any questions that people have, what's the best way to connect? I suppose you've got pretty much all this information online.
A lot of it's online, but if you want to give us a call, 541-440-4325.
There you go. Douglas County Clerk Daniel Loomis, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
8:40 at the Morning Report.